Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you. Circle that. Never. That means even in your worst pain. It means even in your most embarrassing disgrace. It means even in your most massive failure. Even in the thing you're most ashamed of in your life. I will never leave you, and I will never abandon you.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. You know, a lot of people think that having the good life is looking good and having the goods. But Pastor Rick says trusting in material wealth and health is not enough to overcome that sense of hopelessness so many people feel deep down inside. As we continue with this new series called The Keys to a Blessed Life, you're going to learn how you can have peace and fulfillment in your life, your work, and your relationships. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the Life-Giving Study DVD and study kit for this series. You can find out more by going to rickwarren.org or by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to the message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How God Blesses Broken Hearts.
Now, the fact of life is that life is tough. Everybody agree with that? It's not easy. Life is tough. Life is hard. Life is difficult. Since Adam sinned, the world was broken and everything on the planet is broken. Nothing works perfectly. I've said this many times. Your body doesn't work perfectly. The weather doesn't work perfectly. We've been in fires all this week. The economy doesn't work perfectly. No relationship works perfectly. Your marriage doesn't work perfectly. And life is full of losses. We have defeats and we have disappointments. This is not heaven. That's why we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, there are no defeats. There are no disappointments. But on earth, nothing works perfectly all the time. So we have trials and tribulations. We have sorrow and we have suffering. We have problems and pressures. We have, as I said, defeats and disappointments. Now, how do you rise above the inevitable losses in your life? How do you rise above them? Well, today we come to the second beatitude. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, and Jesus says this, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, in the 8 ways to be blessed by God, the second way, this seems so ludicrous when you think about it, so unnormal, so irrational, when he says, the way to be blessed is to mourn. What in the world does he mean by that? In other words, the way to be happy is to be sad? That just seems like a great reversal. What does he mean by this? God blesses those who mourn. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now. I hope you're going through a relatively easy time, but you may not. Some of you came all churning inside. You've got conflicts, you've got chaos, you've got a bad health report, you just got laid off, you've had a fight with your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, the money isn't there where you need it, and you're under tension, and there are things, you've had a loss in your life, or you've had a death in your life, or you've had something that has caused you to have grief. Now, this last year, as you know, I've gone through a year-long journey with grief since Matthew died. And I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about grief that I didn't even know a year ago. But I want to just give you a few things on how to be blessed in a broken world. Now, let me give you a couple things. Write these down. Here's just a couple of insights before we actually get into it. One of them is this. God doesn't expect me to be happy all the time. That's just a fact of life. God doesn't expect you to be happy all the time. There is this myth that Christians, if you're a believer, if you know Jesus, you should be always smiling, always happy, always cheerful, skipping the hills and picking flowers and talking about peace and love. No, that's rainbow bright, not a Christian, okay? And when you become a follower of Jesus, it doesn't mean you become a Pollyanna or an Annie, a little orphan Annie, and the sun will come up tomorrow and it's always up, up into the pool and you're always happy. No, no, you're not. In fact, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:4, there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. And there's a season for every activity under heaven. In other words, life is a series of opposites. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And there's a time to dance. And so the Bible says that sometimes weeping is appropriate. Sometimes mourning is appropriate. Sometimes grieving is appropriate. Because the fact is, the world is filled with a lot of sadness. All you have to do is read the paper and read about little girls getting kidnapped and fires and murders and wars and all kinds of things. There's a lot of pain on this planet. And sometimes the only appropriate, logical response to life is grief.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's rickwarren.org, or just text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
A lot of people think that having the good life is looking good and having the goods. But Pastor Rick Warren says trusting in material wealth and health is not enough to overcome that sense of hopelessness so many people feel deep down inside. Rick would love to show you how to exchange the so-called good life for the better life through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In his DVD and study kit called The Keys to a Blessed Life, he shares the secret to accessing the abundant life God promises in His Word. In perhaps the greatest sermon of His ministry, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us the keys to the kingdom, a life of wholeness, happiness, and healing. In this six-session video series and study guide, Pastor Rick examines the practical steps found in that historic sermon, steps that will lead you to perfect peace and lasting fulfillment in your life, your work, and your relationships. Once you've been through these sessions, you'll be empowered with the knowledge you need to live the amazing life God has planned for you. Right now, when you support Daily Hope Ministries with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of this resource, which is perfect for individual or small group study. Visit rickwarren.org today and get your copy of the Keys to a Blessed Life DVD and Workbook Study Kit. That's rickwarren.org. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Thanks so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Sometimes the only appropriate, logical response to life is grief. God doesn't expect you to simply grin and bear it, to stuff your emotions, and to smile in the middle of all of the storms of life. No, in fact, the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn. God blesses you when you grieve. Why? Why does He do that? Well, we're gonna look at that. Now, a lot of people think that grief is only for funerals. Like, you know, if you lose a loved one, then you grieve. But the fact is, there are a lot of losses in life. There are thousands of losses. You can lose your health, you can lose your job, you can lose your money, you can lose your reputation, you can lose your energy, you can lose a dream. There are thousands of different losses in life. And God says the only appropriate response to the losses of life is not to fake it, but to face it. And not to go around grinning, but to actually grieve. There's a time for every activity under heaven. I actually went through a study this week of what the Bible says we're supposed to mourn and grieve. And I'm not going to get into that. That would be two or three sermons. But the Bible says I'm to mourn my losses, which is bad things that happened to me. And the Bible says I'm to mourn my disappointments, which are good things that didn't happen to me. Did you hear that? Good things that didn't happen to you. That's a reason to mourn. The Bible says I'm to mourn my sins, that I'm to grieve over my sins. The Bible says I'm to grieve and mourn over the suffering in the world and not be, you know, blasé about it. The Bible says I'm actually to grieve for my friends who don't know Jesus, who are spiritually lost. And there are a lot of things the Bible tells us to grieve over, but God doesn't expect you to be happy all the time. Second thing, write this down, is that grief is essential to my health. Grief is essential to my health. It's essential to my emotional health, to my spiritual health, to my physical health, and to my mental health. In fact, if you never grieve about anything, if you're never sad about anything, it means one of three things. A, you're out of touch with reality, because there's a lot of things to be sad about in this world. Or B, you are out of touch with your own emotions and you're living in denial. Or C, you don't love. Because when you love and you see sad things, that makes you grieve. Now, grief is a painful emotion, but it's a healthy emotion, and it's a helpful emotion, and it is God's gift. It's the tool that God gives us to get through the transitions of life. I've told you this before. There is no growth in your life without change. You can't grow without change. There is no change without loss, because you lose some of the old for the new. There is no loss without pain, and there is no pain without grief. To go through life without grieving would be like a mother who says, I want to have a baby without going through the pain of labor. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. Now, there are two unhealthy reactions to the losses of life. One is repression and the other is suppression. Repression is when I unconsciously try to block a painful thought out of my mind. That's repression. I unconsciously try to block a painful thought out of my mind. Suppression is when I consciously try to block a pain. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about it. When I consciously try to block a painful thought out of my mind. Both of these are denials. When you go through a tough time, when your heart is hurting, when your heart is breaking, God doesn't want you to suppress it. God doesn't want you to repress it. God wants you to express it to friends and confess it to Him. And when you do that, you're on the road to healing. I want you to write this down. If I don't let it out, I will act it out. If I don't let it out in healthy ways, I'm going to act it out in unhealthy ways. Some of you were hurt many years ago growing up. Maybe your parents divorced. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you were hurt by something somebody said about you. And it hurt very, very deeply. But as a child, you didn't know how to grieve healthy. You didn't know how to grieve good. So you just pushed it down and you stuffed it down and you've never grieved over that hurt. Well, you need to go back and grieve over it. Why? Because if you don't grieve the losses of life, you get stuck at that stage. Let me say that again. This is one of the most important things you're ever going to learn. When you don't grieve, when you don't go through grief and when pain happens in your life and you don't let it, you don't feel it, you push it down, you get stuck emotionally at that stage and you spend the rest of your life reacting to something that happened a long time ago and you're taking it out on the people around you now, and that's not fair. It's unhealthy to stuff it. You've heard me say this before. When I swallow my grief, my stomach keeps score. If I don't talk it out, I take it out on my own body or on other people. And if I don't let it out in healthy ways, then I'm going to act it out in unhealthy ways. And when you swallow negative emotions, your body gets sick. Now, I've said many times, it's not just what you eat, it's what eats you that makes you sick. David talked about this in Psalms. Notice on your outline, David says in Psalm 32, verse 3, when I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside me, and I moaned all the day long. Now circle the word moan. When you go through a loss in life, you lose a job, you lose a friend, you lose a deal, you lose something in your life that you were hoping would happen, or something you had and you lost it. You lose a marriage. You can either mourn or you can moan. Moaning is negative. Mourning is positive. Moaning is having a pity party. Mourning is calling out to God in your grief and in your pain. Psalm 39, verse 2, David says, I was silent and I held my peace to no avail, and my distress only grew worse. If you don't grieve the losses in your life, if you're too busy and you just have to stuff it, I can't think about it. You try to do the Clint Eastwood, you know, strong, silent type, or just grin and bear it, and you press on, and you don't even stop to mourn a loved one's death. If you don't do that, then what happens is, he says, my distress only grew worse. So what am I saying? The things that happen to you around you, the bad things happen to you, they're not your choice. But grief is a choice, and it's a healthy choice. And when you choose to let it out, you have to choose to allow yourself to feel the sad emotions. You say, well, I don't like feeling sad. No, you don't, but not everything that's helpful feels good. Not everything that's healthy feels good. If you don't mourn the losses of life, you get stuck at that stage. Now, this weekend, what I want us to look at is how God blesses broken hearts. Because the second beatitude, Jesus says this, God blesses those who mourn. Now, I want God to bless your life. I want God to bless your life in spite of all the bad things that have happened and in spite of all the bad things that are going to happen. And in order for God to bless your life, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How does God comfort me when I grieve? I'm an authority on this one. After this last year, I can speak from experience on how God comforts. And as I've looked back over my life in the last year, I see six ways that God blesses a broken heart. Since Matthew died, I have cried every single day since he died. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of love. Deep love cares. Deep love is strong. So how do you get through? You don't get over it. A lot of people think, well, I'm just going to get over this grief. No, you're not going to get over it. If it's serious, if you're married for a certain number of years and then you divorce, you don't get over it. You get through it. If you have a loved one, a husband, a wife who dies, you don't get over that. You get through it. Now, you can't go over grief. You can't go under grief. You can't go around grief. You got to go through the grief. And if you're scared to express emotion and you refuse to go through it, that, as I said, that's where you get stuck. But how do I get unstuck? You let God help you. Let God comfort you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And how does God comfort us? Six ways. Write these down. Number one, the first way God blesses a broken heart is God draws us close to himself. He draws us in close to himself. Look at these verses. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those whose spirits have been crushed. When you are grieving, you often feel like God's a million miles away, but he's not a million miles away. He's never been any closer. What you feel and what's real are not the same thing. Not everything you feel is real, and not everything that's real do you feel. The Bible says God is close to the brokenhearted. He's paying attention. He's not aloof. He's not distant. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you. Circle that. Never. That means even in your worst pain. It means even in your most embarrassing disgrace. It means even in your most massive failure, even in the thing you're most ashamed of in your life. I will never leave you, and I will never abandon you. And 2 Corinthians 6:10 says this, our hearts ache, but at the same time, we have the joy of the Lord. What does that mean? That's the difference Jesus makes. If you don't have Jesus in your life, then God isn't close to you at that moment, and you're on your own. You don't have any other resources. You're there to handle the pain by yourself. God never intended for you to handle the pain by yourself. First, the Bible says God draws us close to himself. And then here's the second thing. Write this down. God grieves with us. God grieves with us. Now, the reason you have the ability to grieve is because you are made in God's image. You're not an animal. Animals, a flea doesn't grieve, and a cow doesn't grieve, and birds don't grieve, and snails and whales don't grieve, but human beings grieve. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. The only reason you have any emotion at all is because God is an emotional God. The Bible tells us that God grieves. The Bible tells us that God weeps. When he sees inhumanity on earth, he weeps. When God sees a sin, he weeps. When God sees wars destroying people, when God sees his planet being destroyed, God weeps. God grieves. And we're made in God's image, and the Bible says God weeps with us. In other words, God is a suffering God, and God is a sympathetic God. He's not aloof. He's not apathetic. He's standing, not standing on the sidelines. He suffers with us. Look at this verse up here on the screen. Isaiah 53, verse 3 says this. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Have you ever seen that verse? Jesus, it's out of Isaiah, it's prophecy, was a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. He knew suffering firsthand. So, when you come to Jesus, it's not like Jesus goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. When your heart is breaking and you're in pain, it's not like Jesus going, I don't understand it. I don't get that. Just buck up and put on a happy face. No, Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Let me just give you one example. There on your outline, when his friend Lazarus died, the Bible says in John 11, when Jesus saw Lazarus' sister sobbing, his heart was touched. Then Jesus started crying.
That's Pastor Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought, but first, you know, a lot of people think that having the good life is looking good and having the goods. But Pastor Rick says trusting in material wealth and health is not enough to overcome that sense of hopelessness so many people feel deep down inside. Rick would love to show you how to exchange the so-called good life for the better life through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In his DVD and study kit called The Keys to a Blessed Life, Pastor Rick examines the practical steps found in what is perhaps the greatest sermon Jesus ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. These steps will lead you to perfect peace and lasting fulfillment in your life, your work, and your relationships. And once you've been through this 6-session video series and study guide, you'll be empowered with the knowledge you need to live the amazing life God has planned for you. Right now, when you support Daily Hope Ministries with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of this resource, which is perfect for individual or small group study. Request yours today by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today, or just visit www.rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, so many of you are supporting Daily Hope with your prayers and with your financial gifts. I just wanted to share a letter with you from Rushika in Sri Lanka. It says, Dear Pastor Rick, God bless you for your book. It's so simple and understandable, and yet it's deep with meaning. I come from a very traditional Catholic family, and I got a copy of Purpose Driven Life from a Muslim girlfriend. Can you imagine that? I was going through a time of struggle, and when I read the book, I was so transformed. I wanted to read it all at once. Then I subscribed to your Daily Hope daily email devotional, and I've been enriched by the teachings. And I share them with my family and my friends. I have 8 siblings, and we have many family issues, but the Lord is speaking to me and my family through you and Daily Hope. God bless you and your family abundantly. Rushika from Sri Lanka. Well, Rushika, thank you for writing. You know, you actually encouraged me. It blesses me when I hear that Daily Hope is helping people around the world like this. Now, that's all for today. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join me next time as we continue in God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.